And at the rate we're going, we'll definitely have a good amount of time at the end for questions. So please keep them, note them down, and we'll have time for that. Our next presentation is by Caitlin Cross-Burnett. Excuse me, who is a fifth-year doctoral student at Johns Hopkins University, where she's studying issues pertaining to race, gender, social class, and family.
So I'm going to be looking at issues of breastfeeding beyond the idea that breast is best, in particular in relation to peer counselors in the WIC program and infant feeding decisions among Maryland WIC mothers. And I'm Caitlin Cross-Burnett, the presenter. I'd like to acknowledge two of my colleagues, Mary Catherine and Joy Nanda, who are here in the audience, and the rest of my colleagues at Johns Hopkins and Maryland WIC who have been working on this project. So, mothers enrolled in the WIC program receive formula at no cost. So the question is, how do they then economically assess the choice between breastfeeding and formula feeding? I'm going to be looking at three economic perspectives, the first being market forces, the second being the economic concept of maximizing utility, which I'll define, and the feminist economic concept of care work. So just a little bit of background on WIC and breastfeeding. WIC supports breastfeeding as the ideal way to feed infants unless medically contraindicated. And beginning in 2004, Maryland WIC began receiving federal funds to support its breastfeeding peer counselor program, which has allowed us to expand the program. Maryland WIC agencies with peer counseling programs have increased breastfeeding rates significantly faster than the agencies that do not have peer counseling programs. And in 2006, Maryland WIC contracted with the Johns Hopkins School of Public Health Department of Population, Family, and Reproductive Health to evaluate the peer counselor program. So I've been part of that program evaluation. And for the qualitative evaluation of the program, we selected three clinics, one urban, one suburban, and one rural, where we interviewed all the Maryland WIC peer counselors, and we interviewed a convenience sample of non-Hispanic, black, and white mothers, and we chose those groups because they have low breastfeeding rates. And although African-American breastfeeding rates are thought to be lower nationally, in the Maryland WIC program, whites and African-Americans breastfeed at comparably low rates, just below 50% initiate. So the people in our study must have an infant under 1 year, and they must have met with a WIC breastfeeding peer counselor at least one time. Right now, we have completed 55 mother-infant dyads interviews and interviews with all of the peer counselors at the three agencies we targeted. So in thinking about markets, the WHO code, which is short for the International Code of Marketing of Breast Milk Substitutes, states that there should be no advertising of formula, that there should be no samples for mothers or health providers of formula, no promotion of formula in healthcare facilities, and that labels on formula must state the superiority of breastfeeding. It has some other caveats as well, but those are some of the main ones. It was signed in 1981 by 118 of the 119 nations participating. The United States was the only nation that didn't sign onto it. Clinton signed for the United States in 1994, but as of now, the United States has taken no action. We're one of only nine nations to have taken no action. The other are all in Africa or their former Soviet bloc countries. In 1989, Gerber was the first company that began directly marketing infant formula to consumers in the U.S. Before that, marketing had generally been done to physicians and other healthcare providers. So in considering WIC mothers and the market, among the women we interviewed, only six mothers reported not receiving a formula discharge pack when they left the hospital. And most of those mothers were being discharged from the NICU, so they weren't from being discharged from the normal obstetrical ward. 15 of them reported incidents of directly being told to formula feed by an obstetrician, pediatrician, or nurse. And several of our mothers reported that who had intended to breastfeed reported that their babies were formula fed without their consent, particularly if they'd had an emergency C-section and there was a separation from their infant after the birth. The baby arrived back to them in their isolette with a bottle of formula, partially drunk in the isolette. WIC-provided formula has a high cash value. The mothers we interviewed who estimated a cost value of the formula estimated it being between $87 and $150 a month. It's actually worth approximately $90 a month on the open market, whereas the extra food that only exclusively breastfeeding mothers receive is some extra carrots and tuna. And women perceive that as having very little economic value. The pumps that WIC distributes do have limited availability. Maryland WIC did distribute over 1,000 pumps in 2007, but they are distributed on a sort of as-needed basis to women who meet specific criteria so that they make sure that women who actually need them can have them. And the peer counselors have somewhat limited availability. They are not all full-time workers, and they're not available at all the times that the WIC office is open. Just to give you an idea of the market value of formula, this is a list of all the formula that was for sale on Craigslist on October 19th in our area. It is not all from WIC because WIC provides the Similac, not the Enfamil, but you can kind of see the value of formula on the open market, not just at the store. So some counteractions for market forces. What could be done for free? Maryland WIC already has no formula promotion whatsoever in its offices, and no pictures of babies using bottles or pacifiers either. But we can work further to make breastfeeding normal, for instance, to emphasize that formula actually causes health problems in infants rather than saying that breastfeeding is healthier. To emphasize the value of WIC-provided breastfeeding, they call them breastfeeding aids, such as pads, pumps, and nursing bras. To emphasize the value of the WIC peer counselors themselves, in Maryland, a private session with a lactation consultant lasting between half an hour and an hour is $40 to $200. The peer counselor services are provided to WIC participants for no extra cost. And to emphasize the higher value of breast milk and formula are not interchangeable products. And to buy breast milk on the open market is to cost about $3.50 an ounce at a nonprofit milk bank. So some counteractions that could be done with more investment in the program. More peer counselors, more time. This is a federal issue. The USDA does have funding for loving support through peer counseling. But again, peer counselors are not available at all clinics or at all times that WIC is open. Many of the agencies in our state don't have peer counselors at all. Peer counselors make as little as $10 an hour, while the WIC formula package market value is $90 a month. Even with the formula rebate, you can see that every breastfeeding mother could be provided with several hours of individual peer counselor time for less than the cost of the formula. To provide more and better food for breastfeeding mothers, the vast majority of the mothers who we interviewed said that a better food package could or would entice more mothers to breastfeed. And aggressive marketing of WIC and its breastfeeding services. Most mothers find out about WIC through word of mouth, and usually what they hear is, it's the place to get free formula. The second economic perspective I'm going to look at is the idea of maximizing utility. It's an unfortunate economic term, just meaning that people want to get the maximum benefit from the choices that they make. So breastfeeding provides numerous benefits that we're probably all very familiar with as far as short-term infant health, fewer ear infections, less diarrhea, lower risk of SIDS, low risk for long-term problems like asthma and diabetes, short-term weight loss for the moms, better long-term maternal health in terms of fewer reproductive cancers and lower risk of osteoporosis, and short-term, long-term financial savings for the family, both in terms of formula costs and in terms of health savings. So mothers who are making these considerations have to think about maximizing utility not only for themselves, but for their infants and also for their entire family unit. So mothers have knowledge about breastfeeding, but that sometimes is countered by their beliefs or their experiences. So all of the mothers who we interviewed profess to know that breastfeeding is healthier for the baby. And I have an emphasis on that "er" because that ER is what determines how much investment they think breastfeeding is worth. Because our mothers generally believe that formula-fed babies are healthy. You know, they've often formula-fed previous children. They see their friends' children or other children in their community who were formula-fed who appear to be perfectly fine. They believe that breastfeeding can actually be unhealthy for the baby, especially if the mother is taking medication. Our mothers also have great fear of not producing enough milk and worry that they're going to be starving their babies. And they believe that breastfeeding is unhealthy for the mother, that it will deplete her nutritional stores in addition to ruining her breast shape and preventing her from losing weight. So the experience that a lot of breastfeeding moms have, especially if they only breastfeed for a very short time, is that breastfeeding hurts, that it's very time consuming, that they receive little, if any, family, community, and medical support, and ultimately breastfeeding just doesn't work out. So the other issue that comes up a lot when people think about maximizing utility is the issue of breastfeeding and work. We actually are asking whether this is a real problem or whether it's what we call a ready excuse that women who don't breastfeed feel, you know, feel that they can easily justify it by saying, oh, I had to return to work. But we had a number of incidents where things would happen, like I would ask a mom, well, why didn't you breastfeed? And she would say, oh, well, I was going to return to work. And I said, well, what are you doing? And she said, oh, I'm not working right now. And her baby was already 3 months old. So you know, we had the situation where, you know, the saying that she was going to return to work was a, you know, felt like a good way to justify why she hadn't breastfed. WIC mothers who initiate breastfeeding actually only continue for an average of 3 weeks, long before most of them would have to go to, back to work after a maternity leave. Among the mothers we interviewed, mothers who did not work were equally likely not to initiate breastfeeding and were actually slightly more likely to be what we call early terminators, women who only breastfed for a few days. We did find that working engendered supplementing, that when women returned to work, if they had been exclusively breastfeeding, they were much more likely to start introducing formula, which of course can lead to ultimate termination of breastfeeding, but they did not immediately terminate. And that work sometimes actually helped mothers by providing information and support. A number of them had very helpful bosses, supportive bosses, or developed a community of working mothers at their place of work that gave them a lot of support for their breastfeeding decisions. And those who worked in the medical field often had access to a lot of really important information that helped them to continue. So some counteractions and the maximizing utility that could be done for free to emphasize the long-term benefits to the child versus the damage that formula can cause. Reveal and emphasize short and long-term benefits to the mother. Emphasize the long-term family economic benefit. To emphasize that nutrition is not breastfeeding specific. A lot of women felt that they needed to eat a special diet in order to breastfeed. They weren't able to, going to do that, and so they better not breastfeed. You know, everyone should have good nutrition, but no matter what your nutrition is like, it's better for your baby and for you to breastfeed. That the learning period is an investment. To reassure, and this is something our peer counselors always do, but it's something that can't be known enough, to reassure about supply, and to discourage all early bottles, both supplements and routine early pump use. Many of our mothers are interested in pumping right off the bat. They pump, they aren't getting very much out, they say, look, I don't have enough milk, they stop breastfeeding. Some counteractions that could be done with more investment, to combine information with direct support, to advocate for peer counselor hospital visits. All of our peer counselors said this was something that they would like to do. To allow more peer counselor time for phone follow-up, to develop working relationships between peer counselors, obstetricians, and pediatricians, and to provide more tangible food benefits to breastfeeding families. And finally, as far as care work goes, women throughout the world provide care at no monetary cost and for no monetary reimbursement to family members. Care work for children provides a greater good for society. Children who are well raised and well cared for are going to be more productive citizens, which is going to be useful for all of us. Breastfeeding savings are often expressed in public terms, talking about savings in insurance, Medicaid, WIC, absenteeism from work, and yet no mothers are publicly reimbursed for breastfeeding, and their work in breastfeeding is never counted in the gross domestic product. So perceived costs that mothers have of breastfeeding are the discomfort it causes, disapproval and the violation of community norms, the perceived risk they have to the health of themselves and their infants, the time spent on it, the inconvenience of it, the fact that they perceive breastfeeding as being their sole responsibility and would not allow them to share care of the infant with others, such as their mothers or their partners, and the non-receipt of the WIC formula package, which they perceive as having high value. Perceived benefits, they do all say that it is best for the baby, and that it might save them some money, because the WIC formula package, especially as the baby gets older, generally needs to be supplemented with purchased formula. Some women who actually breastfed also reported that they felt they got benefits of bonding. Some of them did know about health benefits to themselves, that they got a lot of approval from their partner, their mother, a peer counselor, or a physician, that they felt it was convenient. They very much liked not having to warm bottles in the night, a sense of satisfaction and accomplishment, development of a mothering community with other women who breastfed, and that they did appreciate that they did get some extra food from WIC. So what can be done for free to help with care work? To emphasize the personal benefits from care work, short and long-term health benefits and financial benefits, the value of the WIC services for breastfeeding, the peer counselors, the breastfeeding aides, and the food, to convey that breast milk production and breastfeeding have very high value, and to emphasize that formula is not an equivalent product to breast milk. And finally, to encourage a sense of pride and accomplishment in mothers who attempt or succeed at breastfeeding. What could be done with more investment? To assess and convey formula's true cost, not only in its energy inefficiency, in its provision, but also its cost to health and other problems that it causes in the long term. To have more peer counselor availability. To develop WIC-based mother-to-mother support communities. While organizations such as La Leche League exist, they are predominantly white middle-class organizations. Many of our WIC mothers do not feel comfortable. They're also often in distant suburbs that don't have easy public transit. And to reimburse women directly from breastfeeding, either through cash credits for not using the WIC formula package or by providing more valuable food packages. And overall, to support breastfeeding everywhere for everybody. We gratefully acknowledge the support of the Maryland WIC program in doing this project, our program director, Kathy Nolhoff, the Maryland WIC peer counselors, and the staff of the Maryland WIC program. Thank you.